And it's true. We can be fully functioning, fully alive. We can have a blood pressure right on the spot, our heart rate right where it needs to be. Everything about us physically can be clicking on all cylinders. But inside of us, we feel dead. We don't feel alive at all. And it's true for many people. And it's true for every single person who's never experienced the touch of Christ and the touch of His life upon their light. For you see, their inside is darkened. And the light of God has never come alive in and through their life. Look what John says here. 36 times in the Gospel of John does he use the idea of life. It's an important theme to him. He says it over and over that God is the giver of life, that Jesus is the giver of life, the author of life. You remember the Martha back in chapter 11, verse 25, as her brother lay dead in the tomb? He said, I am the resurrection and the what? The life. He said that to Martha. To Thomas, that disciple who was having trouble believing, who didn't know what to think, Jesus even said this, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the what? The life. And then in John 10:10, to just a crowd of people, Jesus said this in teaching about himself as the great shepherd. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have what? Life, and they may have it to the full or in super abundance. You see, the kind of life that John is talking about and the kind of light that John is talking about is different than just biological life. As a matter of fact, it's reflected, if you could see this morning, into the language of the New Testament, the language in which this was written, you'd understand that John's talking about something more than just our physical life. When he talks about life, he uses a word, and the word is zoe. We get our word zoo and zoology from this word. And this is a word that describes the essence of life. And it's the essence of life is not limited by time, nor is it hindered by death. It is a kind of life that God gives that goes on forever. It is the essence of life. Now, I could have used another word. There's another word that's very common in his day. And that word is bios, from which we get our word biology. But that's a word that just refers to the duration of your life, the time between your birth date and your death. It's a different kind of a life. It is just your life of living during your lifetime. But it's not the essence of your life. It's not the true meaning of your life. You can be alive physically and dead spiritually. And that is the case for some of you this morning, and some even listening online this morning. Yeah, we can take your blood pressure this morning. Your blood pressure is just spot on. No problems, no health issues. And yet if we really press, you'd say, but inside, man, I just don't feel alive. I don't have any hope. I don't see any future. You see, it's that kind of life that Jesus Christ comes to bring us. Not only the life for this day and time, but the life that lasts forever. Recently, Kathy and I were at a dinner, a support dinner for a ministry that's very near and dear to us. And sitting at the table with us was a young woman named Kim. And as we talked with Kim and as we asked Kim to share a little bit of her story, what we discovered was that Kim was an addict. Kim had been into drugs and alcohol. But Kim had come to a place in her life where she realized that was an absolute dead end. In fact, that was darkness and death. And she got involved with a group called Hope is Alive. Some of you are familiar with Lance Lang and Hope is Alive Ministries here in Oklahoma City, which, by the way, is beginning to spread out across this country and impacting hearts and lives and changing hearts and lives through the message of the gospel in a powerful, powerful way. But Kim, through that connection with through Hope is Alive, HIA, one, began to get clean of the drugs and alcohol in her life. She had accountability. She had teaching. She began to say no to those things. But then something else even more remarkable happened in her life that Kim shared with us. And what Kim shared was that in the midst of that, she came to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's almost like you could hear her saying, "That's when my life really began." Now, she'd been alive physically for close to 40 years. But if you ask him, "When did your life really begin?" "My life began when Jesus Christ became alive in my heart and my life." You know what the cool thing was about Kim, though? You could see the light in her eyes. You could see the life in her. She didn't even have to tell us. You just look at her and say, "There's something. Something's happened in this young woman's life." There was something that happened in her life. And the thing that had happened in her life was that Jesus Christ had become her life. And that Jesus Christ had become her light. And that light was reflected through her eyes. That life was reflected through her life. And she's now impacting the lives of lots of other women who are around her in the very same way. That's what John's talking about here. This Jesus Christ, this infant Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. When he was born there, he came to a dark time, but he came bearing life. He is the life giver. Do you hear that? Do you understand that this morning? That there is no life in anyone else except Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can have life and have it fully and have it abundantly. That's the kind of work God wants to do in our lives. The scripture is so full of this. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, listen to this. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He has done what? He has shone in our hearts. That's what God has done. When Jesus came, he came bringing that kind of light to us. I wonder if that's your testimony this morning. It's my testimony. I understand that. I understand darkness to light. I understand death to life. That's my testimony. That's my personal testimony of where I was in life and not having direction and confusion and darkness and making bad choices and making bad decisions. But when Jesus Christ became my life, that all changed. Because he was my life. And he was my light. In John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, listen to what Jesus has to say. Because all throughout the Gospel of John, this idea of light and life comes to life. He says, "Truly, truly," or "Verily, verily, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, believes in God, who puts their trust in Jesus Christ, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed. Listen to this. Has passed from death to life. I love it when I hear people say these kinds of words when I ask them. And some of you do this. Some of you have done this for years. How many of you celebrate your spiritual birthday? Anybody in here celebrate your spiritual birthday? That's more significant than your actual date of birth. Yes, when you were born, yes, you were alive. That's true. You were alive physically. Why is your spiritual birthday so important? That's the day you truly came alive. That's the day that you truly began to experience life as God has designed it and wants it to be for each of us. In verse 25, Jesus goes on to say this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, Jesus is not talking about people that are buried in a cemetery somewhere. He's not talking about people who are physically dead. He is talking about those who are alive physically and dead spiritually. And he's saying there is a day they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who what? Who hear will do what? They will live. Now that's where you and I come into play, and we're going to look at that more here in just a moment. Jesus in John 8:12 said this. He said, "I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So when you follow Jesus, when you trust him, when you believe on him, you have a level of life. You have a life in you that is the life of the ages. You have the life that God desires for you. That is when you become fully alive. In Colossians 1:13, it says this, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." Do you understand what happens in salvation? You are delivered from darkness and placed in the light. And ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't come about by any other means or any other ways than by you putting your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. The verse that we know so very well from John 10:10, I mentioned it a moment ago, when Jesus talking about the enemy, he said he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And here's the purpose. Here's a singular purpose of Jesus Christ being born, of him coming to this earth. Here it is. "I came that they may have life and have it," how? "Abundantly." Literally, the word says super abundantly. Now, that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us a life that we could not acquire on our own. We'll see that more fully here in just a moment. In other words, here's what Jesus wants to do for you. He wants to give you an upgrade to life. Any of you ever been surprised if you were flying and you had coach seats or economy seats, and every once in a while you walk up and they call your name and you realize, "We don't have any more seats, so if you don't mind, we're going to upgrade you to first class." Now, no one has ever said, "No, please don't do that. Put me in the middle row of those five people in the back of the airplane," right? No. You would say, "Hallelujah, I'm going to fly first class. I'm flying business class, baby." Listen, Jesus upgrades our life to eternal life. It's not that he just makes life better. By the way, if you've just added Jesus to your life, to your mix of things, because you think that somehow he's just going to make your life better, you've missed it. We don't just add Jesus to the mix hoping things are a little better. No, Jesus becomes the center and heart of us. He becomes our essence. He becomes our life. That's what he's offering to us, is that kind of eternal life. Now, here's the second thing that I want you to see this morning that in these verses. Matter of fact, notice verse 5 before I move on to the next couple of verses. He says, "The light shines in the darkness," and the light is who? The light is Jesus Christ. He is the light and the life. "He shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, that really has two meanings. One, it means that the darkness can't overthrow it. It can't take it over. But secondly, it also means this. Your translation may reflect this. The darkness doesn't grasp it, or the darkness doesn't understand it. And there is a sense that people who are walking in the kingdom of darkness sometimes don't get it. You know anybody like that? I do. They're just not getting it spiritually. Why? Because they're in the darkness. But you see, the light continues to shine. And eventually, as that light continues to shine, and as that light shines at the right time in the right place, God uses that light to open their heart and to open their life so that they begin to see the truth of Christ. Now, that's what I want you to see in this next thing. We are witnesses of God's light. So how does God dispense his light? How does God dispense his life? He does that through us. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look in verses 6 through 8. Because here, we're introduced to John. Now, this is not the John who's writing this gospel. This is John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. His mother, Elizabeth, by the way, was pregnant with him when Mary came to visit her. Don't miss this. This is kind of cool. You remember what happened when Mary came to visit Elizabeth? Who leaped in the womb? John did. Isn't this pretty cool? The first person to recognize the Savior was an unborn baby. And you're telling me there's not life in the womb? You bet there is. But listen to what it says about John here. There is a man sent from God. So he's sent. Whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. And I love this part. That all might believe through him. And to make it clear, John goes on to say, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Now, John preached a powerful message. One of the funniest things I've seen this week, and I've chuckled about this all week, was somebody brought up the point is, why do we never see John the Baptist on a Christmas card? So somebody created a John the Baptist Christmas card, and it had this guy with this wow-looking hair and this big old hairy beard, and at the top it says, Happy Advent, you brood of vipers. Remember, that was John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And you remember when they came and asked him about it? He didn't mince any words. He did refer to them as a brood of vipers. You're probably not going to put that on your Christmas card, and I'm not either. But I thought it was kind of fun. Hey, listen, John was serious about his work as a witness. He wasn't the light, but he reflected the light. He was the bearer witness of the one who came. And by the way, he did that in a very powerful and very profound way in his life. He was always pointing people to Jesus. In fact, it's John who said, when he saw Jesus on that one occasion, he said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know what he's doing? He's bearing witness. He's saying, don't look at me, look at Jesus. Understand who he is. He never promoted himself. He never said, hey, by the way, I'm cousin to Jesus. That's pretty cool, isn't it? No, he never did that. It was always about Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your sin and turn to the only one who can forgive your sin. But you see, we are called to do the same thing. It wasn't just the role of John in the New Testament, but to be light bearers and to be witnesses of the light and life of Jesus Christ. Well, folks, that has fallen to us. How will the gospel get out? How will the gospel be shared? It's going to be shared when you and I share it. Why has God left this church here? To bear witness. Why are we here as believers? To bear witness. That's why. And so that begs a very important question, if you will. How often are we bearing witness in a verbal way to Jesus Christ? By the way, there's a famous quote that is often misappropriated. In fact, there's this quote. In fact, it was even mentioned in the message at George W. Bush's W.H. Bush's funeral this week. The pastor mentioned a quote by St. Francis of Assisi. He was a Franciscan monk, and he says, preach the gospel and even use words if necessary. St. Francis never said that. It's in none of his writings. And I would beg to differ with that quote. You cannot just preach the gospel with your life. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes by what? The Word of God. Yes, your life can be an example, but please don't buy into this idea is, you know, I don't have to tell anybody about Jesus. They just see Jesus in me. Really? Have you looked at your Facebook feed timeline? I'm not so sure. Now you've got to speak the word. You've got to share the gospel message. You've got to help people understand how to put their faith and trust in Christ. Yes, your life matters. Absolutely. But you're not just going to preach the gospel silently. Neither did John. He preached it verbally. And he preached it powerfully. And I think he preached it compassionately. And so should we. Who's the last person you have verbally shared the gospel with? You don't need to answer that out loud. But who's the last person that you have verbally shared the gospel with? We are to be his witness, and we are to bear witness to the light of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verses 14 and 15, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." You see, those verses really almost refute that statement. You don't light a candle and put it under a basket. No, you put it out so it can be seen, so that it provides light and direction. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see, very importantly this morning. We truly come alive when we receive and believe. Look at this last set of verses here, verses 9 through 13. Listen to John again. "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." Now, who is that? That is Jesus. When Jesus came into this world, he was that one coming in who is going to give light to the entire world. He was in the world, he says, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And that word "know" doesn't mean just know about him. That means to know him in a relationship, to know him in a real and genuine kind of a way. And then he says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Now think about that for a moment. When Jesus Christ was born into this world and lived those some 30, 33 years of his life, was he well received? By some, but not by most. They rejected him and they rejected his message. Even his very own people. But there were some who did receive him. And look at this, verse 12 particularly. Here's what I'm talking about. How do you and I come alive? It comes about two things. When we receive and we believe. It's right here in verse 12. But to all. To how many? To all. To anyone whom God has spoken to their heart. It says to all. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name. There it is. Who did what? Received him, number one. Two, believed in his name. He says this, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, when God gives us light and life, he does this also. He brings us into his family. He adopts us. Paul develops that idea in the book of Romans. But we are adopted into his family. You see, when we receive and when we believe, we become the children of God. You become one of God's kids. You're adopted fully and completely with all rights and benefits into his family. And it comes through that two-step process of receiving him and believing on him. Now, look at verse 13 carefully, because this tells you how it doesn't happen and how it does happen. He says, who were born not of blood. Now, what does he mean by that? It means that you did not become a believer. You do not become a follower of Jesus Christ. You do not become a Christian by the fact that you are related to someone who's a Christian. It is not passed down through your genes. Okay? Not at all. It's funny how sometimes as a pastor, people, when they meet me, they find out I'm a pastor, they begin to give me their whole lineage of how their grandpa was a preacher and all of this stuff, as if somehow I'm going to be impressed by that, that somehow that their grandpa was a preacher or they had a brother who was a preacher. That listen to me, folks, that will not get you into the kingdom of God. That may be a wonderful thing that you have that lineage, but that means nothing for you. Not at all. So that's what he's talking about. So you can't get there by blood, if you will. And then he says, nor of the will of the flesh. And what does he mean by that? You can't just decide on your own you want to do it. This is a fallacy in Christianity too, that you somehow just going to decide when you're ready. When you're good and ready, you'll just decide that you'll become a believer. I hear people give that excuse all the time. Well, when I'm ready. You don't get that choice. You don't get that choice. It's not just that it's your whim or when you decide you want to do it. That's when God speaks to your heart. By the way, like he's doing some hearts this morning. Like he's doing for some of you right now. And God's been speaking to your heart this morning. He's been knocking on the door of your heart. And he's been saying to you this very morning, today is the day I want you to receive me. And I want you to put your belief in me so that you might have life. It's not just at your choice. But then notice what he also says. Nor of the will of man. Now what does he mean by that? Folks, I think he means by that things that we try to do religiously. You say, well, if I do good things, or even if I give money, or if I go and volunteer and do this and that, or I'm a member of this, or I attend with regularity, and I'm in small group, or I'm in Sunday school, and all of this, listen to me, not the will of man. That's not how it comes about. You don't get to heaven through your name on church roll. It's not the will of man, but it's the will of God. Notice what he says here lastly. But of whom? What does he say? But of whom? But of God. My salvation. Your salvation. Your life. Your eternal life. Is there and can take place. Not because of anything you've done or you can do. But it is entirely, completely of God. That's what Christmas is all about. Is about Jesus coming as the light of the world to give a lost world and a lost people who are walking in darkness the opportunity to have true life and true light and to live with him eternally. Now that's what Christmas is all about. That's what God's great light in the darkness is all about. So I wonder this morning, where are you in all of that? Where are you? Can you testify with me about a time in your life when you really discovered life through Jesus Christ? Or do you wonder about that? Or maybe there's just never been a time like that for you. When you've been willing to receive God's gift of eternal life and to believe on Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, the one who lived, who died, and on the third day rose from the dead, who lives forevermore, and who is coming back again. Have you believed on him? And have you received him? If not, I'm going to invite you this morning to do that very thing, to receive him and to believe in him. I want you to bow your heads with me, please. Father, as we have opened your word today, it's been very clear, very abundant to us that you are life. You're the giver of life. You're the giver of light. And there is no way that we can truly have life, the essence of life, true life, until that moment in time that we put our faith and our trust in you, till we receive you and believe on you for what you've done and what you're going to do. And Lord, I know this morning under the hearing of my voice that there are people who've never done that. They don't have any confidence about that. They could not point to a spiritual birthday. They could not point to a time where they have said yes to you, to receive you and believe you. And I pray that they might do so this morning. So Lord, as we offer this time of response, I pray that people not respond to a preacher, but they would respond to you and respond to how you've been speaking to their heart in these moments. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. And there are going to be some gentlemen down here to pray with you. If this morning you come and say, this morning, I want to receive him. I want to believe on him. I want to trust Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Would you come right now as we sing together, please?
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, lost away. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one.
Bow your heads if you would, please. Lord, thank you for being our light, and thank you for being our life. And Lord, I pray for the rest of us as believers here this morning that we truly take to heart this idea of what it means to be a witness to the light. There are people who never know about Jesus in a real and true way unless we open our mouths as we open our lives to share that message with them. Help us to be faithful in that. Lord, help us to be bold and courageous about that. Every one of us. Help us in this Christmas season when all these images are there of light and life, all of these things. They all become entrees. They all become doorways by which we might share the message of Christ. Now, thank you for an opportunity to give this morning as a part of our worship, as a part of our obedience, as a part of our stewardship this morning, just managing what you provide to us. So help us to be cheerful and generous givers now. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated while we receive our offering, please. Thank you for listening this morning, and I pray you'll take that to heart and live that out this week. I'd encourage you to go back and read those first 18 verses of John. They are so powerful and so beautiful as John describes the coming of the light, the one who is truly life to each one of us. Remember, there's some things maybe you want to sign up for. Remember, what's tonight at 6 o'clock? Christmas Connection, okay? It's our annual Christmas fellowship. And we're going to have a photo booth there, all kinds of fun stuff. So bring your favorite things tonight. Meet us here at 6 o'clock. You ought to have a big smile on your face, but you don't right now. I don't know what's wrong with you. But and if you want those cookbooks, get those as you go out this morning. Portland Avenue folks, you greet our guests this morning. Greet one another. Make sure everyone feels very welcome here this morning. And with that, we're going to be dismissed. God bless you.
Listen to this.